Thank you for joining us, Savior. Can you please introduce yourself and tell us what you do around TPA issues?
Yeah, so as you know already, I'm Savior Mwamba. I'm working with the Open Society Foundation. I'm in the Economic Justice Program. I'm leading a portfolio on tax and inequality. Mostly this involves me working and supporting our partners, civil society, and also some other non-civil society groups like intergovernmental organization who are trying to bring about or influence, broadly speaking, fiscal systems, but specifically tax, international tax rules, to ensure that both the international system of rules and structures of power that shape these rules are fair and are reflecting sort of the desires of developing countries, and also are much more equitable, and also to help these countries raise as much revenue as possible as a result of having much more transparent rules, having clear measures in place that prevents taxpayers, even corporations, from getting all that paying taxes. So I do a number of things, but mostly supporting our partners through grant making. We also do our own sort of concrete level type of support, where we do commission analysis and research to understand the field better. We also have some capacity development or institutional development support, as well as things like technical assistance, and collaborating with other donors as well. So through the Transparency Accountability Initiative, TAI, that's one sort of donor collaborative platform where we get together with other foundations to exchange ideas and share sort of lessons and best practices. But in a nutshell, I think our jobs, I think, as a program officer is also to ensure that we make sure that our understanding of the field of the actors is informed and by lessons by the actors themselves. So we try to be as close as possible and interact with the grant makers and learn from their own knowledge and learn from their own experiences. So even if we're funders, I think we do realize that we are not the best people. We may not know everything, right? We may not have all the knowledge. So I think regular interactions with both partners and other funders is one way of keeping abreast with them.
Thank you, Savior. So what motivated you to start working in this field?
Yeah, it's been a long time, right? I think I first encountered this, working on these issues back around 2003. That's more than 15 years ago, I believe. It was easy because, I mean, the country I grew up in, I'm from Zambia, and so the political context, the social and economic context in Zambia then and now was such that one would confront these issues on an everyday basis in terms of, on one hand, you have so much wealth in the country, you have so much, natural resources, and yet you have a lot of poor people, you know, a lot of, most of the population was struggling to sort of make a decent living. And then you had governments on one hand also claiming that they don't have enough money. So I became curious about development and why some people are poor and why some people are rich. And so my very first work, even before I finished uni, was in the development area. And then I did my first work in civil society around researching on the mining in Zambia, in the privatization, and just the losers and winners in the privatization process of the Zambian mining sector. One of the things we found was that apart from the labor issues, the environmental issues, the tax aspects of that was quite telling. And for the first time, we discovered just how much disparity there was between the resources that were leaving the country and how little companies were not paying their fair share of taxes. And part of the reason was that the authorities were unable to track the financial flows. And obviously different types of transparency was at the core of that. So I guess that partly provoked my interest in pushing further in terms of understanding how the connections between the national level, the grassroots level, government on policies, how that is affected by what's happening at the international level in terms of the structures of rules and the international financial architecture, or that is constructed, is an integral part of really dealing with the national level problems.
Okay. Thank you, Xavier. So in a number of years, you have been working on different projects around tax advocacy and economic justice. What significant changes have you seen?
Definitely there's more interest now than before. There's more interest both among governments and the general public in terms of tax issues, like to discuss tax issues, to be interested. Before, this was things that were discussed only by economists or academics or between Minister of Finance, you know, during the budget. It was very technocratic issues. I think now we see there's more visibility of these issues in the media, in the public media, in the social media as well, and some of it is spilling slowly in the public discourse. So people can easily connect between their everyday situation, the material conditions, and how that is connected to, you know, some rich companies or rich individuals controlling the system, not paying their fair share of taxes, or shaping rules that benefit them that are unequal. So we've increasingly seen that discourse. So that is good. I think there's been a lot different. Before, you could not talk about tax outside very restricted rooms, right? Like, mm-hmm. But now I think we see even some of the protests around that, and inequality is at the center of that, of course. And everybody understands, like, the reason why there's so much inequality partly is because of this disproportionate distribution of resources, mm-hmm. and the fact that some people can get away with amassing more and more resources at the expense of the rest of the people who are actually working and paying taxes.
Okay. So you've discussed the changes you've seen over the years. Now, what other changes do you expect to see in the future? What are the gaps that actors working around TPA issues still need to fill?
I think we have a long way, we still have a while to go. So for example, we need to see more and more concrete shifts and changes in policies and practices, actual practices and policies of institutions like corporations and of government institutions in terms of the kind of tax rules that they are putting in place to actually stop these things that everybody's talking about from happening. I think we've had enough rhetoric. Everybody understands what the problem is by now. So we need to move towards seeing much more will, much more commitments to changing the system of rules, and also governments acting to clamp down on ensuring that they're actually making everybody who's supposed to pay tax pay the right fair of taxes. This can happen if I think we also have a narrative shift among the public. So we need more and more groups to be part of this discussion, more diverse groups, it's not just an NGO thing. It should not be just an NGO thing or a finance thing. To be your regular groups, diverse groups, to be putting political pressure on decision makers. And I think we also need more investment, more funders, more funding should be going to enabling localized knowledge and indigenous systems to drive the narratives and shape the kind of priorities that needs to be pursued by funders. So currently, most of the agenda around transparency is still driven and set by the northern groups or northern NGOs or even northern governments. There's this disproportionate amount of voices in that. So that does reflect in terms of the priorities that the agenda, the reform agenda that is being set, mm-hmm. May be good, but may not be reflective of the majority of the population that are marginalized or that are seeking the changes that we want. So I think a combination of this sort of short-term versus more long-term thing is still needed. And I guess that's the preoccupation of most funders, right, and NGOs working on these issues.
Okay. So given your experience over the years, how has it influenced the way you work as a program officer in this field?
I think the fact that I've worked, like I've lived in Zambia, in an African country, I've interacted with the public, how the public perception of these things are, but also how policymakers' perception of this. So I've got that sort of lived experience of understanding, first of all, the impacts, the effects of lack of transparency, but also at the same time, some of the barriers to changing institutions and changing narratives. So that helps me in approaching my work with a very specific lens or frame a worldview that I think might not be possible with that similar kind of experience. And sometimes I see this sort of influencing the kind of decisions I make, or even the kind of sort of influence I seek to make among my colleagues, like the team, in terms of shaping the overall design of how we approach the strategic element of our work.
Yeah, thank you, Xavier. So what advice would you have given to your younger self starting out, or even for anyone who is starting out as a program officer on tax issues?
Well, I think one should strive to ensure that they always utilize their experiences and understand their own understanding of the context from which they're coming from to guide some of their work, because that's also very useful. And I think that's one value of having a diverse group of people in a team, right? Is to get the benefit of that kind of experience. So I think individual program officers should not underestimate the value of their own experiences and how that shape their. Secondly, I think, as we all tend to find out quickly, institutions, whether it's funders like OSF or others, are inherently rigid to change. So no matter how much they put out nice mission statements, one, institutions themselves are rigid and they may not always be the best avenues to pursue specific political and policy objectives. So being aware of the limitations of working in these institutions is helpful, knowing how, you know, what you can get from this avenue versus what you can get from that. Because just because funders are funding these issues, I mean, they have their, you know, their impact will always be progressive. So I think as someone working in these institutions, you need to understand, you know, the limitations of institutions. I guess those two will be my...
Your recommendation.
Yeah.
I'm sure you will find it useful. And finally, so Xavier, this is supposed to be a fun question. So what is the most useless talent you thought you have but has otherwise proved valuable?
Two, I guess. I think so. I used to own a bar in Zambia. I used to be a barman. So obviously, when you're applying for jobs in this field, that's the last thing you think would be useful, right? So you never even bother to, you know.
Put that.
Obviously, it does tend to come in handy from time to time. But most on a serious note, I think my having no prior experience working for a philanthropy or a funder, also my having no prior experience working in the North, you know, in Europe or America, I did all my school in Africa, I've never had any education in the West. That might seem like a disadvantage to someone who's saying, oh, but I've no prior experience working in this context, but I'm coming to work in this. But I think that is, for me, a very valuable thing, because it allows me then to approach my work to have to view things from very specific lenses. So I always reflect everything from those lenses. Like, yes, this is what the dominant view about grant making, this is the dominant view of how things should be done or how we should support our grantees. But then I also reflect back on, like, oh, but there's this specific worldview, like this is how things in Africa work or in the South, and maybe we need to moderate on some of these things, or maybe this view is not representative of how the rest of the world perceives things. So I found that I think it's quite useful to always step back and
reflect.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Xavier. That will be all. Thank you for joining us.
No, thanks all for having me here. Looking forward to the rest of the series. Yeah.